Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you can see, I just had company. That was my youngest son, his woman here. So they come in and brought me my supper. Wasn't that nice of them? All right. We're going to be tonight because I'm the only one here right now. We're not going to be having communion. So we're going to be going right into our study tonight. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So give you a minute to get ready. And we'll be getting right into our study. All right. Starting out here with verse 1 to 11. Paul is warning us. He says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." This folly he's talking about is the apostle is uneasy about what he has to do. For him, it is foolishness. He goes on here in verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chastened virgin to Christ." It introduces the reason the Corinthians must bear with Paul. It is for their own well-being. They were in danger of turning from Christ by being set against Paul's ministry. So he must keep their affection and confidence to help them persevere with Christ. You see, these Judaizers that followed Paul from place to place, and as he would leave each place, they would go behind him trying to tear down his teaching of the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what they were against. And trying to bring the people and keep them under the Mosaic law, which, as we know in this day and time, that was not to be. Because in the day that this was wrote to the Corinthians, had already started the church age. And the law had been fulfilled with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent back, the church age began. And it'll be with us until the Lord comes for his church. When he comes to take his church out of this world, that will bring to end the church age. And what will be left will be days of tribulation. And let me tell you something. You're not going to want to be around during that time period. So you better get right, because it's closer on us than what you think. We're living in the last of the last days. And it's not near as far off as what mankind would love to think. And if you're not ready, you're going to be left behind to go through those days of tribulation and wind up, when you step out of this life, you'll wind up with your seat in hell. And you'll spend 1,000 years there with Satan and his evil ones, and all that has rejected and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, while Christ has his kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years, with all of those that had made heaven their home. You see, when he comes back to this earth the second time, he's going to be bringing all with him that has made heaven their home. And then at the end of that period of time, that 1,000 year of his reign here on this earth, where he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And at the end of that 1,000 years, there'll be what is called in the Bible the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that time, that will also be a time that Satan and all of his demons and hell and those in hell and hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the word says, the worm never dies. Think about these things. You need something more than yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life to make heaven your home. Now, 3. But I fear least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, Paul is warning them of false leaders and false teachers. Now, he tells us here in 4 For if he preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You see, he's afraid for them, because he knows these Judaizers are trying to draw them away from the Lord Jesus. And he's afraid that those that will come doing this will be able to draw them away. 5. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But we know Paul was made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Now, he met him on the road to Damascus as one born out of time. Now, as we go to 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Paul letting them know he's kind of rude in speech, just as I am. I'm not a highly educated man. I didn't finish high school even. I didn't go to college. I didn't go to seminary. What I have is what the Lord gave to me when he called me into the ministry. And as I speak, it is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. But he has to use my voice and also within my abilities. Now, you see, he gives me the knowledge I have of his word, of his will and his way. And he goes on here in 7. Paul says, I have committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. In other words, he wasn't charging them anything. Paul, when he first went to Corinth, worked with Aquila and Priscilla as a tent maker. They made tents. He goes on here at 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. You see, as he traveled, there was times when he couldn't work, and there were some churches then that he did take offerings and things from to help him along the way. And, you know, there in 7, where he told us, I have committed an offense in abasing myself. You know, his honor fairly drifts from his pen. Their only legitimate criticism was his self-effacing manner. He says, I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. in 18 months of ministry, he never once extracted from them a living wage in 18 months. Now, because he knew in trying to do that would cause a lot to turn away, believing things that they had been told about him and believing that he would only want money. But that wasn't what Paul was in it for. We all know that. Because coming as far as we have through the book of Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, now this for the 2 Corinthians, we know how he lives. It's not hid from us, that's for sure. 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brother which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. In other words, he hasn't been burdensome to him, and he's going to keep himself that way. He'll take from others in order to do it. 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the region of Achaia. 11. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. You see, he's letting them know that God knows all things. 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. He's talking about those that are rejecting the Lord Jesus, rejecting his teaching and trying to tear it down. 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And we have a lot of that going on today, only they're not transforming themselves into apostles, but they are transforming themselves into being pastors. And they're not pastors because God put them there or called them. They have chosen as a way of work to make money without having to do manual labor for their pay. And they're teaching things that is contrary to the Word of God, because when you come down to it, they don't really understand the Word of God. Because, you see, they are false, just as Paul is warning the Corinthians here about them. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh yes, he transfers himself into a lot of things. It's not true. But you see, if you really know the Word of God, and you stand on it, and you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, He can't fool you. He can't deceive you at all. But you have to stand in faith and with the Spirit of Almighty God. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing, pardon me, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, you see, that angel of light that we were talking to there in 14, we were talking about in 14, the passage calls to mind the calumation of our Lord's discussion with the Pharisees in John 8, the specific allusion Paul makes is not clear. Perhaps it is to Job. But we know Paul does not leave anything really undone. And here in 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. But his boasting, what he does, is not really of himself. It is boasting the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done to him and for him and through him. 17. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, he says, I will glory also. 19. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. They are seeing themselves as being wise. But he's letting them know that that's not right nor true. 20. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Now he's named all these things that they can do and will do to us. And he was talking to those there in Corinth in that day and time. But it is also meant for you and I, because the word does not change. Now, 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. We know Paul's going to stand and proclaim this gospel as it is given to him. He's not going to walk around it. It does not matter what it costs him. He will stand in boldness. 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. You see, this is what he calls boasting. But he's just letting them know who and what he really is or was. He says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Speak as a fool. I am more. In labor more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death often. He's always in peril of death. We know these things because we've already covered a whole lot about Paul, but there's a lot more as we go on through this New Testament. Now, 24, the Jews 5 times received out 40 stripes, save one. In other words, 5 times he had received 39 stripes each time. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. 3 times he had suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had spent in the deep. Spent a night and a day in the sea. 26. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You see, his concern is for these churches. He's went through all of that that he just named here. All for the care and the love of the churches. 29, sorry. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. Now, 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. He'll glory about those things that he's been done to him, that he's made truth. Because just as you and I today, we can go through all things because we don't have to go through them alone. The Lord is always there with us. All right, now, 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. He's letting them know. The Lord knows I'm not telling you no lies. 32. In Damascus, the governor under Artaxerxes, the king kept the city of the Damascens with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. kept a garrison there just trying to catch Paul. 33. And threw a window in a basket, was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. And we know all about that. About him being let down, escaping from them. How many of our pastors today do you think would have made it? Has Paul made it? I want you to think about that. Because there is coming a day and time to where you and I are going to have to stand against the same things just like Paul did. But you see, that is coming in these troubling times. And in the beginning of those days of the Antichrist, we'll have to be making choices of either accepting him or staying with the Lord. And if we stay with the Lord, we'll be imprisoned, beaten, and killed. Beheaded. You see, there is some bad times coming. Get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your life on the right road. Become that born-again child of God, to where you have the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to stand as you need to stand, so that you won't be lost through eternity. You'll be spending eternity with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you all receive something today to help you from this Bible study. And I pray that you'll all be with me and join me in the morning at 10 a.m. Well, we'll be back into the Word of God. We've only got a couple more chapters. We're going to be getting out of 2 Corinthians. We're going to be getting into some books that are strong, real strong, that will really let you know. And then as you look within yourselves, you'll know how you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Spirit and with Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I shut your word, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that we come together, that I can share this word with others who will listen, that they too can grow in strength to receive what they need in order to make it through life here on earth and in their home, when they step out of this life and into the next. Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace for them. And I pray also that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. And Father, this land in which we live, that is filled with so much evil, I pray for it too, Father. And I pray that those that has brought this evil upon this land, that is sitting in the offices of five places, be removed from office and be replaced with those that are serving you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church, your people, and this land, and that will work with us to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we'll be able to put the Lord back into every place he's been taken out of. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in my heart, each and every one of them, Powers, Dennis Lee, and his wife, and his family, for Amy, her husband Tom, their son Jacob, for Millie and Bobby Johnson, and Millie's family. And Father, my wife, for Sue Branson and her family, for Daryl and Debbie and their family, Father, for Courtney and Shane to get their life straight, for Chris and Sam and that little family, for myself, Father, and for all of our family members, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, that, Father, the Holy Spirit can work within our families and help to bring those that are walking in darkness to the knowledge they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and see that they be brought to him for repentance and forgiveness and start their lives fresh, clean, and new, so they too can make heaven their home and none be lost. Now, Father, as we enter into this evening and the night, I pray that you keep us all in health, keep us safe, and bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Walk with God and he'll walk with you. Have a good evening.